What a blessing it has been already, and we still have some great books to come, like Daniel and some others. But here in Micah, God continues to warn his precious people of impending chastisement for their disobedience. And tonight, it's more about his word and their attitude towards the word here in chapter 3. Verse 1, and I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that you shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. So is it not for you to know judgment?" Lord, I pray you'd use your word now in our hearts. Thank you for the privilege of opening it together. Thank you for the story of Pastor Anger, and we just continue to pray for his ministries, that you'd protect them and grow them. And his family, Lord, especially Mrs. Anger, give her your grace and comfort and the provision. And now tonight, as we look to your word, we pray you'd use it in our lives and just teach us and grow us through it. We thank you for the privilege of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so what God is saying here essentially is we are accountable for knowing and understanding God's word. Israel was accountable. They'd been given a copy of it through Moses and others and the prophets. And now we, as God's children, are accountable as well. We have been blessed with a copy of God's word in our language. Hallelujah. Which makes us accountable. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." If you look at John 5:39, Jesus commanded us to search the scriptures. And again, it is for us to know judgment. It is for us to know right and wrong. It is for us to know God's will through his precious word. John 5:39, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So Jesus here says, you are to search the scriptures. I want you to search the scriptures because they testify of him. In John 12:48, Jesus says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him the word that I've spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day." And of course, we know we're told in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study, to show thyself approved unto God. And then 2 Peter 3:18, let's turn over there. And so what God is telling us and telling them is they have a responsibility to know God's word. Is it not for you to know judgment? It is for us to know judgment. 2 Peter 3:18, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." But notice we're to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Well, how do we do that? In the word. That's where we find the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we, as well as Israel, are accountable to know God's word. And we're accountable to find in his word his will for our lives. And David talked about this in Psalm 40, verse 8. If you'll turn there, Psalm 40, verse 8. He made an interesting statement about how God had spoken to him about his will because he hid the word of God in his heart. Remember, it was David that wrote, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee," right? In Psalm 119:11. Look what he says here in Psalms 40, verse 8. He says, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. So what he's saying is, because the law is in my heart, I delight to do the will of God. And it's the same for us. It is up to us to know judgment. It is up to us to know the Word. It is up to us to make the Word a part of our lives. And the more we do, the more we will desire to do the will of God. And the more we will be blessed. I mean, that passage in Psalm 1, which we've been singing recently. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree, and so forth. God will bless us if we know His Word. And so God wants us to love this book, but He also especially wants us to know this book. We have a responsibility, and we're not going to stand before Christ at Judgment Day and say, Lord, I didn't have time to learn Your Word, or I didn't have the energy, or I didn't have the ability. No. God wants us to know this book. It is for us to know judgment. And so what we see here in Israel's life is this progression. If we don't strive to know the Word, if we don't strive to be accountable to the Word, what happens? Verse 2, they hate the good and they love the evil. That's exactly backwards, isn't it? Which is like our society today. They hate the good and they love the evil. This is what's going to happen if we lose the protective power of God's Word. The lines between good and evil get blurred. Because where do we find those lines? In the Word of God. How do we know what's right and what's wrong? In the Word of God. That is the only definition of truth. And so we will lose that perspective and that protection if we don't make the Word of God a vital part of our lives. And that's what happened to Israel. In Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Does that sound like today? Why is it that way today, even in Christianity? Because a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's why. And Joshua 1:8, let's turn there. We'll turn there just for the buen sucesos. It's a private joke. This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth, Joshua 1:8, but thou shalt what? Meditate. Meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe to what? Do. So he wants us to meditate. He wants us to do all that is written therein. And look what he says. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So if we, unlike Israel, if we do make the Word of God part of our lives and meditate in it and strive to do it, God's going to bless us with a prosperous life. That doesn't necessarily mean rich, but it means His blessings and good success. The word success is in the Bible one time, Joshua 1:8. And it's connected to God's Word. So what happens is if we don't strive to know judgment, if we don't strive to know the lines of good and evil, don't make the Word of God a vital part of our lives, like we see here in verse 2, hate the good, love the evil. What else happens? Verse 4, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but He will not hear them. He will even hide His face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Ill in their doings. What comes next is backsliding. Living in a sinful way. And of course, the result of that is fellowship with God is hindered. We've seen this theme over and over, haven't we? But this is how it works. If we don't make the Word of God a vital part of our lives, the lines of good and evil become blurred. We begin to backslide. And when we begin to backslide and live in sin, then our fellowship with God is hindered. And that, of course, is Isaiah 59. We'll turn there, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 59. Beautiful passage on the end result of living in sin is hindered fellowship with our Father. Isaiah 59. Behold, verse 1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. It's not that he cannot hear, but that he will not hear. But it all comes back to the sin in that passage, doesn't it? We're told in Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. He doesn't accept our sacrifices, and our fellowship is hindered. And this is the progression that Israel followed. They stopped listening to the word. They stopped making the word a part of their lives. I mean, how many times had they been told, even in the Old Testament, to write it on their walls and to talk to their children about it and to talk about it day and night and to memorize it? But their attitude now was, we don't want to hear the word of God. And what's the result? They hate the good and love the evil. And now, as it says there in verse 4, God's face was hidden from them. And this is also a prophetic statement of what happened after, when they got taken to Babylon, 70 years in Babylon, and they cried and they cried and they cried unto the Lord, and he didn't rescue them. And then they get a tiny little revival under Ezra and Nehemiah, then 400 years of silence from God till Jesus comes. So it's also a prophetic statement of what happened because of Israel's attitude toward God's word. And the final, verse 7, then shall the seers be ashamed, the diviners confounded, yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. How's that for a sad statement? No answer of God. God limits his fellowship with us based on our behavior. And that is how it works. So go to Proverbs 15, if you would, this time, verse 8. And then we'll look at Proverbs 28, verse 9. But if our hearts are not aligned with God's word, the lines of good and evil get blurred, then what happens? We begin to backslide. When we begin to backslide, the fellowship with God becomes hindered. And we don't feel close to God anymore. Not the feelings are important, but it's because we aren't close to God anymore. And what happens then? There's no answer. Our prayers are hindered. Proverbs, where are we? 15:8? The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. And then go to Proverbs 28:9. I think I already quoted Proverbs 15:8, but go to Proverbs 28:9. Our prayers become hindered. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be what? Abomination. Who? He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Do you see the connection there between God's word and our attitude to God's word and the effectiveness of our prayer lives? And God is saying to Israel, this is what's coming. Because you're not listening to my word, because you're not focused on my word, because you're not learning from my word, you're confused about good and evil, you've blurred the lines, you've begun to backslide, and so your fellowship is hindered, and now there's coming a time when there will be no answer, when I won't hear your prayers. And none of us want to get to that point. But it always comes back to this book. This is the book that God gave us for so many purposes, obviously to give us light, to give us direction, to convict us, to grow us, and to give us wisdom. We could go on and on about the many, many benefits of memorizing and meditating in and reading and studying this precious book. And we all know that it's commanded over and over and over again in the New Testament for us as God's children. So the question, again, another rhetorical question that God asks of Israel and of us, is it not for you to know judgment? The obvious answer is yes, it is. And we will be held accountable. You know, most Christians have multiple copies of God's word in their home. How blessed are we? You know, there's still people in the world that don't. Still people in the world that don't have the Bible in their own language. People in the world who can't even have a Bible because if they get caught with one, they could end up going to prison. And so they have to memorize it instead and sneak it around to one another. We have multiple copies. And often Christians still don't read it, don't memorize it, don't meditate in it, don't study it. And God is going to hold us accountable for our attitude toward this book. I don't believe you can overstudy the Bible. Don't think it's possible. I don't think you can overread it. I don't think you can over-meditate in it, over-memorize it. There's just no limits because it's a depthless book, isn't it? Because it's supernatural. It's God's Word. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's an amazing book. So let's treat it like an amazing book. And the answer to this question, let's make sure we say to God a resounding yes. It is for us to know judgment. Yes, Lord, we will know what the good and what the evil is from your word. Yes, we will maintain sweet fellowship through your word so that we will not get to the point where our prayers are hindered. You know, Jesus said in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Again, talking about prayer, but did you hear that one part? And my words abide in you. That's an if-then statement. So he says, I want to give you whatever you ask. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But if my words abide in you. There's always those ifs with God, and many of them are connected to this. So yes, it's up to us. We will be held accountable. We will be judged based on this, as we saw there in John 12:48. So let's just keep in it. Amen? Keep in it every day. And let God use it in our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us from your